Hello, and thank you for joining us for the RealCom Corporate Real Estate Strategy webinar. I'm Sarah Bamperat with RealCom. We have an incredible lineup of speakers in today's webinar, but before we get started, I want to go over a few housekeeping items. Please use the Q&A box on the bottom left of your screen to submit your questions or comments. We will try to get to all the questions, but if we don't get back to you during the session, we'll do our best to follow up with you after the event. For the best webinar experience, we recommend logging in either from a desktop or a laptop. And we will also send you a recording of this webinar within the next couple of days. Should you experience any technical issues, please contact Dan at ddevine@realcom.com. You will see that throughout the session, we will have a few links to additional resources, so feel free to click on those just within the webinar room. This education is supported by our gold sponsors, CommScope, Iodium, Linkspring, and Vintra. And we also have two silver sponsors, Facilio and Moda Labs. Let's take a look at what they do.
We're doing a couple of things that are like way ahead of what customers are using today. One is we have a technology where we can integrate with existing automation systems, be it a building automation system. We have a tech which is IoT based where we can talk to all these systems and get a live feed of data coming out of the building.
You've embraced digital transformation with smart workspaces, collaboration tools, and business applications that engage employees. Now it's time to maximize your investments. A single app to unify fragmented systems and streamline communications, putting the workplace experience in employees' pockets. A mobile gateway to logging a ticket, booking a meeting room or hot desk, or your afternoon spin class. From onboarding to wayfinding and everything in between, connecting employees to what they use most so they can be their most. Connect your workforce while creating apps on demand.
Today's webinar moderators are Jim Young and Chuck Neiswanger. Chuck has over 30 years of successful leadership experience in technology-related roles, ranging from operating his own consulting company, Neisense Consulting, to directing the IT strategy and operations of a real estate investment management firm. Jim is founder and CEO of RealCom. He has over 20 years of experience in real estate and technology, and Jim has been involved in some of the most important projects in commercial and corporate real estate. Thank you both for moderating, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Sarah, and good morning, afternoon, evening to everybody on the webinar. Great to have you. Really excited about today's webinar for a number of reasons. Number one, get to co-moderate with good friend Chuck Neiswanger. And we've got two incredible end-user speakers, Emmanuel Daniel from Microsoft and Paul Maximuck from Fordland, going to be sharing some incredible projects, probably some of the best projects in the world with you. And then a really well-thought-out list of sponsor partners in CommScope, Iodium, Linkspring, and Vintra. We go from the telecommunications infrastructure to the smart building network, to the edge device applications, all the way to the data, in this case, camera images and videos. So we're going to get a really good perspective on what technology applied to a corporate real estate portfolio is all about. So before we get started, I'm going to take a minute or two and just set some foundation for today's webinar. And then Chuck's going to add some comments, and then we're going to get started. So this particular webinar is not necessarily about commercial, but corporate real estate. And if the slide you see on the screen, the concept is simple. You apply technology, automation, and innovation, three different things. Technology is the tool, automation is the process, and innovation is the business idea. And you apply that to a corporate real estate portfolio, which usually includes a corporate campus of some type, regional facilities, and in some cases, retail outlets. When you do that, all the different things that technology can change in a corporate real estate portfolio fall into really three buckets: real estate information management, smart connected buildings, and next generation space. You notice the three circles touch each other, but they're designed to touch each other because the information and the data and the activity, the automation activity, has to go back and forth between these three buckets. If you accomplish this, you get better space utilization, lower operating costs, more efficient natural resource usage, not just energy from the standpoint of heating and lights, but also things like water, and then achievement of sustainability objectives, and at the end, a more engaging, safe, enjoyable, and productive space. So that's what happens when you apply technology, automation, innovation to a corporate real estate portfolio. To show you how complex that is, this is a slide that we came up with in 2013. We're actually in the process of redoing it for CoreTech. Actually not redoing it, just adding to it. It's called the Corporate Real Estate Facilities Information Management Systems Enterprise Architecture Overview. So when you look at all these crazy good ideas about how we can make real estate run and operate and be used better, this is the detail. So what we did was we had everybody, this is a group of corporate real estate executives, send us anything that contained the address of a building. So it could be at the time in an Excel spreadsheet, a DOS application, client server, cloud, mobile, blockchain, you name it. We don't care where it's sitting. We just want to know that it's out there. That grouped into six buckets of data. You can see corporate real estate, energy sustainability, IT, human resources, connected smart buildings, and then finance. And all of those touch each other again because the data needs to be flowing smoothly. And in the middle, we've got this consolidated data warehouse lake, a consolidation of information, hopefully data normalized, and then we apply analytics or more current version, AI, into the business process automation. So that's kind of the big picture of what we're going to be talking about. And with that, Chuck, I'm going to turn it over to you and give us a few comments on what you think about technology as it relates to corporate real estate.
All right, great. Thanks, Jim, and always a pleasure to be here with you, and I totally agree with you. It is such an important and dynamic subject. I see why you have it on the webinar topic just every year. And you know what, with each passing year, I'm seeing new concerns that are dropping on the plate for senior corporate technology executives, but nothing is coming off. And I think about the new technology advancements, that's certainly part of it. And given just a year ago, we referred to AI as an evolving capability, but now we're starting to refer to almost as mature in some cases. Advanced image recognition and facial recognition was considered also as evolving, but now you see people are wearing masks during protests to avoid it because it's here and it's real. Companies that we thought were being transformational just a year ago in areas that we knew would impact technology strategies, especially those like supporting tenant amenities, companies like WeWork, now known as the We Company, for we work, we grow, we live, we go broke, they are churning out to have cracks in their business models. And I think, you know, most people that are connected to our live webinar and listening to the recording will never have an opportunity or expect to have an opportunity, like we'll hear from Paul in this webinar, to build a company headquarters from the ground up. But I submit, given a diagram like this, they could still think about it. If your CEO came to you and said, hey, look, we've got this three-year project and you're in charge of it, what committee would you form first, and what would be the first topic of discussion? So, Sarah, I just want to throw up this poll to get everyone's idea of what is the most important thing they would start with if they were given the task of a new company headquarters. So take just 30 seconds and fill in this poll, and we'll see what are people focused on, or what would they focus on if they had to build from the ground up a new headquarters, every aspect of it. Lining up cybersecurity, certainly we would expect to be one of the main ones, and then experience options for tenants and guests. I'm surprised that it's getting such a high rating, interestingly enough. And what's interesting too here, as I'll finish with, you can lay out this corporate strategy. You can think it through and think through what would be your number one things and go through that exercise. And you could actually start it no matter if you're building from the ground up or wherever your starting point is. And I think that's what people should take away from today's session, a good place to start. So there you go, Jim.
Awesome. Always like to get the audience engaged, and if anybody in the audience has an idea for a poll, just put it in the Q&A box, and if we have time and can get it pulled off, we will. Sarah's very adept at doing things on the fly, and that's we want to keep this lively, and we want to keep you engaged. So if you've got questions or suggestions, we want to pull you into the conversation. So with that, I would like to introduce one of our first end-user corporate real estate professionals, incredible amount of experience, and we're going to get to learn a little bit about that in a minute or two. Emmanuel Daniels, Director of Applied Innovation and Incubation, Smart Buildings and Campuses, Microsoft. Emmanuel is responsible for building and delivering the digital transformation strategy for campuses across Microsoft. He builds experiences that merge technology with the built environment, leading to the formation of spaces that respond to user needs. He's also accountable for identifying, building, and implementing the next generation of products that will make smarter and sustainable buildings. This is one of the projects around the globe that we're keeping our eye on. It's truly transformational, and we feel honored to have Emmanuel on the phone with us today. So with that, Emmanuel, I'll turn it over to you.
Perfect. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, pleasure to be here, and good morning to everyone on the call. Kick things off, first of all, thank you, RealCom, for having me on this webinar. I'm really privileged to speak to you guys about the project that we're doing at Microsoft. So what you see on the screen there is the rendering of what our future campus would look like. As you know, Microsoft is a global organization. We've got multiple campuses across the globe. And as part of that, the biggest challenge we have today is how do we build and deliver the most connected, accessible, sustainable, and secure campuses globally? With that challenge in mind and with the way the technology industry has been shaping up and has been transforming, we got together and we said, what do people want in buildings today? People spend most of their time in buildings, they live, work, play in buildings. How do we make that experience unique and delightful? So people would truly say, coming to work is an excitement. Coming to work is a joy because the space that they're working in continues to adapt, change, and meet the needs that they have. So with that in mind, we then said, okay, why don't we take a portion of that campus, transform it, and see what it looks like. So what you're looking at on the screen is what the East Campus would look like once it's finished. So in terms of size, you're talking about 72 acres of space with 17 new buildings, and these 17 new buildings were built after we brought down 14 buildings. So when this challenge came up, we said, you know, we just can't build spaces like the way we used to. And the spaces have to be more engaging. People have to collaborate. You got different demographics, different age groups, different work styles of people that live and work in Microsoft. You got developers, you got salespeople, you got consulting offices, you got the marketing folks. How do all of them collaborate? And collaboration, not only planned collaboration, but you have to start thinking about unplanned collaboration. Collaboration not only with employees in the company, but you know, Microsoft is a huge partner-friendly organization. How do we engage partners? How do we engage students? Because once again, that's our future workforce. How do we make Microsoft's campus so unique and engaging that people would say, you know what, that is the company I want to go and work for because the space that I work in just lets me be myself and achieve all that I want to do. So with that in mind, we then came on and said, okay, how do we start? How do we build this strategy to transform space? And what you're looking at is the East Campus in Redmond, but at the same time, we have five other priority projects in addition to multitude other sites, which are happening in parallel. So the challenge for us is not only Redmond, but the other sites as well across the globe, where we have campuses, where we have presences that are parallel to this being transformed, being built up, so that we wanted to ensure we have a unique experience across the globe. So for us, when we started, we said, hey, we have to lead with the experience. Why is that important to us? Because ultimately it's about how delightful, how people are in that space, how engaged they are. So merging of the physical world with the digital world, how do we bring both of them together? The next step for us was, okay, transforming as a whole. Digital transformation, you probably would have heard this multiple times from multiple people. What does it mean and how is digital transformation going to be affected all the way from the construction to the technology, to the experiences, to the people, and eventually to the ecosystem that is going to consume and provide services in that space? Now, digital in our DNA, as you know, we are a technology company. But at the same time, how do we drive digital experiences without without overdoing technology, right? Our goal is not to do technology for technology's sake, but then identifying the unique experiences where technology serves as an enabler so people can start consuming and interacting with services that they need. Finally, no campus can run purely by front-end experiences alone. We have to ensure that campus is performing at the most optimum level of effectiveness and efficiency. And to be able to do that, we then came and said, okay, hey, how do we merge this so we not only have an amazing campus with experiences, but it is efficient and effective as well? To be able to do this, our approach was extremely simple. We said, hey, let's build out a transformation framework. On the transformation framework, we then said our focus is going to be on two broad areas. Customer-driven impact. So when I say customer-driven, we're talking about the employees who we view as customers who we provide services to. And then the internal driven, which is about the services and tools the real estate team needs to be able to ensure these facilities are running at the top of their game. Now, underlying this, we then came and said, what are the foundation capabilities that we need to have? Why are foundation capabilities important? Because as you have clearly seen today, with the whole thing surrounding security, whole thing surrounding accessibility, sustainability, and, of course, data. And I think the poll was quite accurate. We start with experiences, but for experiences to be made real, you need data. Capturing the right data, cataloging that data, and driving intelligence from the data is key to ensure these campuses can function well. Now, with that in mind, we then said, okay, we have a framework. How do we translate this to an approach? And our approach was very simple. You make a building smart, starting from the shell and core of the building. Then you start impacting the experiences. You then create standards. And finally, you start rolling out these experiences globally across all your sites. And we start with Redmond, and this then gets replicated across multiple sites Microsoft has in its portfolio. With that, let me show you where we're at with respect to our construction. So what you see here is a bird's eye view. This campus that you have, 14 buildings were brought down. From these 14 buildings, we're going to have a four-story underground garage. And we've just completed that, and you'd see that in a minute. The beauty for us is, you know, we get to start with a clean state, but even during construction, one of the key elements that we emphasized on, how do we ensure we are able to be sustainable? How do we ensure we're able to conserve? So in terms of facts, we diverted almost 95% of our demolition waste away from landfills. You had close to 50 trucks full of carpet, ceiling tiles, all that went out, and added to that, to be able to build out a four-story underground garage, we actually moved out 1 million cubic yards of dirt. So with this large transformation, this large engagement, for us, putting a strategy in place, taking a stepwise approach where experience was at the heart of it, was foundational to how we built out and structured all the services surrounding it.
Emmanuel, yeah. would you say that, I mean, your experience is global, would you say this is one of the most innovative, large-scale corporate projects in the world?
I would say so, because in one of my experiences also involves working with customers, working with our partner ecosystem. So from my perspective, what we are trying to do is we are trying to show the world what is possible in a smart campus. So this clearly to us is being prioritized as one of the most innovative projects in the world.
Wow. Incredible. And for all of you listening, we've got two icons on the screen. You click on the one on the left, you can get our advisory newsletter that goes into more detail this project, and then the Microsoft Redmond Campus of the Future video. And then also, as I'll be discussing later, Emmanuel is going to be one of the keynote speakers at CoreTech coming up this November in Silicon Valley. So, Emmanuel, thank you so much for outlining this project for us. We're going to hear from Paul and then our solution providers, and we're going to bring everybody back in to a conversation and get to some questions. So thank you for that, and I really appreciate that. Our next speaker, another major project going on in the world, and it's going to be presented by Paul Maximuck. Paul is the product owner of Smart Building Technologies and Controls for Ford Land, that small automobile company we're all familiar with. Paul is the product owner as well as the technical SME at Ford Land, leading all BMS and controls integrations globally. So He has over 30 years of experience in the industry managing multiple types of energy systems and specializing in strategic smart building implementation. Paul's expertise in the built environment spans real estate assets from large industrial facilities to Class A office buildings. And I believe we're going to start with a video before Paul comes on. That, I'd like to introduce Paul Maxima. Paul, between you and Emmanuel, I feel like I'm walking into the future. Wonderful video, and looking forward to hearing your thoughts.
Thank you very much, Jim. Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it may be across the globe. First, I want to say something that is very important to me personally is this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity of being part of this team, developing the strategies and technology, developing what direction this vision wants to go with all our leadership, working with different groups that normally we would have never connected with in the past. Bringing this all together, it's very important. So one of the first things I want to talk about, part of the strategy, understand the background. This campus, this is the product development facility where they design vehicles, engineer vehicles, do the testing of the vehicles, software development, all the different integrated systems are all part of what this building is going to be. What's really important here is that this campus is over 60 years old. So a lot of the existing infrastructure is so old, decrepit, it was time to do more than a facelift. So we've gone through two leadership changes with different visions how this campus was going to go. Jim Hackett, our CEO, saw the vision to move this to a more technology advanced building, infrastructure, layout design, environmentally friendly, following our corporate strategies in where we do in our manufacturing and all our other business segments. So if you look at this slide, I wanted everyone to get a vision of the building. This is 2.2 million square feet. What's very interesting about this is we have to demo part of a building to start the build out of this infrastructure. So it's a lot of transition and planning behind the scenes just to relocate people somewhere while this is being built. The plan is a five-year build out on this. It's in two phases. Phase one is scheduled to be complete by the end of 2022. It's a very tight timeline. I am hoping we are as optimistic as everybody else is that we can meet that schedule, but it's a good start. If you look at over all the different buildings, they're all interconnected. They call this the hub. The reason that they're calling it the hub, it's a collaborative working environment. In the past, all these buildings were scattered all over in different locations or people were separated. They built this out and designed this so everybody will come into a central collaboration workspace so all the groups can interact. That's very important, obviously. Technology is a huge enabler of that. Bringing in everything else we need to make this happen involve multiple partnerships with organizations that are building out the infrastructure for both IT, utilities, and building the actual physical structure. What also is very interesting, we can go to the next, I have control of the slide, right? Let me go to the next slide. You can see how the campus is laid out. It's very open, very airy. You can see vehicles, a vision coming down the line. These will eventually be autonomous vehicles. A lot of the autonomous development is part of this campus. You also probably have heard we also have a Detroit campus that we are working on in conjunction with this project, which will be really the home base for all the autonomous development and management and integration into a city, smart city infrastructure. So what's really important here is the technology enablement. It takes a lot of meetings, a lot of different groups to understand what you're trying to accomplish. The second part's going to be, once you understand what you want to do and bring into that workplace, it's going to be what is going to bring the value and return on investment. How are we going to bring things to the workspace that have a monetized value to it? And what's really important and what everybody's starting to understand is the collaboration's huge time saver of wasted time. It's not just about energy anymore, it's also about the workers' time and how much time is wasted. So increasing operation efficiency really plays a big part in that. Some of the technologies that we're bringing in require higher bandwidth. We are working with different partners. I'm bringing a totally new IT infrastructure into this place. As I mentioned before, bringing all these different groups together to bring this vision together required a convergence of our IT and operations technology teams. So that's why we have these technology teams that work together cohesively to build out this vision, bring the infrastructure that can support it, and be able to manage this once everything is deployed. The other thing that's really interesting is just the way the concept, the open airness, the new design feel, look and feel inside aesthetics of the workplace. As you can see, it's all a collaborative environment. There's different areas in there for people just take a break, get away, clear their heads. What's really interesting is some of the technologies we've already brought in to some of the proof of concepts we tested, which includes wireless technologies, artificial intelligence, augmented reality for doing design work. We've actually scanned other buildings to retrofit them when we were building out the campus on other sites. It just bring all that technology together. What's really going to be interesting is how this will be phased out. 2 years for the first phase, final completion by the end of 2025, 2.2 million square feet of a technology building that, as you can see, is not a typical design. This is going to be a very impressive effort. I hope in the years, next few years, we'll be able to bring progress updates on how this is all moving forward. Very interesting stuff. I want to save a lot for CoreTech, so you all come to CoreTech, and I can go into more detail on some of the items that we have been working
on. Yeah, you know, Paul, as I was watching your presentation, you know, and we've obviously known each other for a while, but to see the progression and then to see, you know, the project, like you said, is once in a lifetime, same thing with Emmanuel, you know, this Microsoft transformation. Just so grateful to both of you for taking the time to do this and for being involved with CoreTech. In addition to Microsoft and Ford, if we had CoreTech, we'll have Google, we'll have ExxonMobil, and we'll have other, you know, other corporations that I believe are really setting the standard for, say, 22nd century workplace. And you guys, it's exciting to be associated with you, and just really excited to see your messages. So what we're going to do is I'm going to turn it back over to Chuck, who's going to introduce our sponsor partners, and then we're going to get through theirs, and then we're going to get quickly back to a conversation where I know we've got some questions for you as well as the audience.
All right, good. Thanks, Jim. And I just want to throw up another poll here. If we could hear from our audience, our live audience today, and certainly give the people who are listening to this as a recording later, we heard a lot of great ideas, a lot of new technologies. People are going to hear these things of things they can do on their strategy. If you took that back to your home office, what would be the biggest barrier to success of getting anything done or moving these projects forward? And I'm just very interested to see, for those of you who can scan through these, there's probably several that might work for you, but if you had to pick one, in the case of what's holding you back, what's making it difficult to get these projects approved? And looks like a clear, overwhelming majority are just saying, look, the decision makers don't understand the potential benefits, so we have to be able to sell these. They don't understand the value propositions. And I think one of the things Paul talked about too is, how do you define ROI? And does everybody agree that that's the case? I see also change management is a big issue, and the idea of having IT and OT coming together and working on this is good. So, well, that gives us a good idea. We can talk about these things a little bit more. But I do want to bring on our next guest, but I believe we have a video. We want to take a little bit of a look at what CommScope does, and then we'll bring on our next speaker. And that's a good look at CommScope. And our speaker today is Rona Davis, and she's been working in networking and telecommunications industry for 23 years, 13 of those with CommScope. And she's on CommScope's strategy and technology team for buildings and campuses. Thank you, Rona, for joining us today.
Thank you, Chuck. CommScope is proud to participate in RealCom and the important work that RealCom is accomplishing for the building industry. As Chuck said, I'm on our strategy and technology team responsible for buildings and campuses. So commercial real estate is literally the conduit for the hyper-connected industrial revolution that's happening today. Today there is the network, right? And so your building is either part of that network or it's basically a very well-appointed zombie habitat. And as what was shown in the poll earlier, that experience is a primary driver for commercial real estate. Being on the network is really going to contribute to experience, right? So the traditional philosophies and the methods, deployment methods that historically have been used for technology deployment simply just won't be enough to survive in today's technology-driven economy. Additionally, being risk-averse or laggard in your tech strategy and planning simply means that you're willing to let someone else eat your lunch. And what I mean by that is that the technology is going to happen for all of those reasons that Emmanuel and Paul expressed. It's really about that experience. The technology is going to happen, and it can happen to you sort of in an ad hoc fashion, which can be very costly to your organization. It can be very difficult to manage, or it can happen with you and through you. And really a well-planned and executed strategy is what differentiates those two things. So shifting from the ad hoc approach, or really the way that most of us are going about technology today, to a strategy-driven approach isn't as easy as it sounds. First, it requires significant planning and collaboration very early on with a much broader group of stakeholders. So Emmanuel and Paul both talked about this with their projects and how important it was for them to talk to and engage with that broader audience of stakeholders and to do that very early on. And that's because not only are you at risk of leaving out a technology or a service that could cost your organization, but there's a lot of opportunity for increasing revenue and profits and improving the experience of your building through technology. And so a strategy helps you ensure that there is nothing left on the table and that no one else gets to eat your lunch. I'd like to take just a moment to also talk about the importance of partnering. And that's because no one, especially in this day and age, can do it alone. The network is too vast. If you looked at Jim's one of his initial slides that he showed, that really represented everything that needs to be included, and that's going to require partnerships. And so partnering really is a smart way to gain scale and expertise, and frankly to spread out the risk. Being agnostic today is really just code for, I think I can do it alone and no one can. Being open platform and standards-based, that is smart, that's strategic. Being partner agnostic is really just kicking that can down the road because at some point, these partnering decisions have to be made, right? Someone is going to ultimately be your partner in these projects. So choose your partners early. Align your partners with your vision and goals, and then make sure that a win-win can be attained. That partner ecosystem is so critical for your success, and so having healthy, long-lasting relationships is really important. So again, leave nothing on the table. Now, when we look at your connectivity strategy, it really must span your entire organization. And again, kind of going back to Jim's initial slide, what we mean here is that every device must be considered, every system, every department, every transaction, every impression, every data point, every person. So a common theme among building technology strategies is what I like to call the one stone or silver bullet approach. Like we're deploying a fiber-rich network, or we have a multi-gig Wi-Fi strategy. And the truth is that there is no one stone or silver bullet to connectivity. I've been in the industry for 23 years. It would be amazing if there was. But the truth is that buildings require a lot of different types of connectivity. So several connectivity medias must be considered and reviewed. A handful must be specified and even mandated within your own organization, so that you can avoid that whack-a-mole, ad hoc, sort of technology just happened to me scenario that can be so costly to your organization and can be so difficult to manage long-term. CommScope is a leader of all things connectivity. We are manufacture wired and wireless solutions, fiber, copper, cellular, and Wi-Fi. We'd love to be a partner on your technology journey. Again, I'm Rona Davis with CommScope, and I want to thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Rona. Very interesting.
I just want to throw in there, Chuck, this is the foundation of the digital transformation strategy, the plumbing, the pipes, the concrete. I mean, this is the foundation. So, Rona, I just want to thank you as well. Great insight.
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Rona. Really appreciate it. Let's bring on our next speaker. That's Ron Victor. He's with IoTium. He's a technology entrepreneur with 20 years of experience in launching new ventures and startups in Fortune 1000 technology companies, and the latest one being IoTium. Go ahead, Ron.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it. Everybody on the call, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Pleasure to speak to you. A little bit about IoTium. We're a company, 55 people, raised $22 million, to date, we provide building owners and operators the ability to securely connect and automate building technologies. Basically, transform your buildings and building operations completely. And the infrastructure to do that, the IT infrastructure required for the OT world, is what IoTM provides as a managed service. We're funded by John Chambers himself, JC2 Ventures, Honeywell Ventures, GE Ventures, etc. Next slide, please. So what do our current portfolio, building portfolio customers use us for? So these are some of the problem statements that IoTM helps resolve when it comes to the next generation of smart buildings, connected buildings, etc. The first thing is security. You all heard, you know, in one of the polls, cyber was the biggest, one of the biggest threats. So how do you immediately secure the building automation system from external threats? How do you securely connect the building to energy analytics applications? We've talked about sustainability a lot. So now that means you're going to run applications that that are going to run the building most sustainably. And so these apps may run clouds and data centers, et cetera. How are you going to collect this data and transport it very securely across? How does your IT team, everybody mentioned on the call so far that the IT team and the OT team will work together. The IT team always needs governance. So how do you provide an infrastructure in place for the OT world that the IT world can govern? How do I manage third-party remote access? I have vendors like Honeywell, Siemens, Schneider, Allerton Train, Enlighted, all of these people that are coming in. They have 100 technicians each. I need to know which technician from which vendor accessed what subsystem, touched what application at what time with a full audit trail. Give me that as a managed service on a single pane of glass. How do I converge an old spaghetti network, which is completely, which is not converged? How do I run analytics at the edge, as well as how do I cloud enable my on-prem assets? Next slide, please. Next slide. So this is the foundation architecture. It's a reference architecture that I suggest to everybody. We'll spend most of the next few minutes talking about this. You are going to need multiple data lakes, in the sense you are going to need an infrastructure that allows you to take data from multiple subsystems to multiple data lakes. There's no such thing as a single data lake. It has to be multi-tenanted, number one. So how do you securely transport BMS data, lighting data, CO2 monitoring, access control data to multiple data lakes? That's the first thing. The beauty of that data lake architecture is the fact that you can now provide an API layer there, and you can have all the application and occupancy experience vendors collect the data from that data lake to build your occupancy experience application. They don't have to come right back into the building to collect that data. Once you've got that data, now what you need is a single-tenanted operations cloud. This is a single-tenanted unique cloud per enterprise customer that we host on behalf of them. This is your single pane of glass to provision, authenticate, manage, and audit secure third-party remote access back into the building. The application in the data lake gave you the insight. Now somebody has to go back in and change set points. How do you, with a single pane of glass, enabling changing those set points without having multiple technicians, multiple laptops connecting to assets with all the vulnerabilities, issues, etc.? And the last thing to know is this industrial app store in the cloud, where you see all these applications next to the orchestration layer. This is where you are going to be wanting to deploy multiple applications from multiple vendors at the edge. So you need an architecture that allows you with one click to deploy applications to multiple buildings across from multiple vendors, as well as collect data to multiple clouds. Next slide, please. This is the benefit of the Ops Cloud. We can talk about it during Q&A. Basically, all the vulnerabilities of a technician's laptop ever connecting to your mission critical asset disappear. Last one, please. Next slide, please. This is the advantage. Again, I'll talk about it during Q&A. You can get to see how many people out there are trying to hack into systems. This will give you a full data on that. Once you have that operations cloud, it becomes a single pane of glass to get this. And this is the last slide, which will show you the architecture that you will look. Go ahead, please, on the next slide again. So this is the archive. This is your next generation campus. Data going to multiple data lakes, an operations cloud for people coming back in, and the ability to push applications to the edge. This entire, what I want to leave you with is think about the fundamental architecture and infrastructure that you're going to need when you go about your smart building strategy. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Chuck.
Ron, hey, Ron, you can tell why cyber was one of the number one concerns and why if we had to pick one topic, this would be the first team that gets put together, because it can be very complicated, but it is by far the most critical in the foundational layer of this particular effort. So really appreciate that. Looks good. And
great
with
job.
That, really appreciate that. Yeah, that was good. I do want to bring on our next speaker. That is Mark Pitok. And Mark is the Chief Marketing Officer and Communications Officer for LinkSpring and is a pioneer in leading the intelligent smart buildings and machine-to-machine movements, both of which are pushing the industry forward. He leads corporate strategy, brand management, and so much more at LinkSpring, and he's definitely been a friend of RealCom for many, many years, which is why we have him with us today. So, Mark, take it away.
LinkSpring's Edge to Enterprise for Enterprise and Multi-Sites is a turnkey smart building solution that connects, accesses, and translates operational and facility data from devices and equipment into actionable information. Information that can save energy, increase efficiency, and reduce operating costs while maintaining a higher level of comfort for occupants. The Edge to Enterprise solution consists of hardware and software combined with engineering, deployment, and professional services. It's everything you need to deploy and experience the value of a smart facility enterprise, including connectivity, integration, interoperability, automation, command and control,
it's
data
really
access and normalization, and
the way we approach what we do in the built space. I think we can all agree with that. It's reshaping how we manage, operate, and evaluate corporate real estate portfolios. Digital transformation has indeed changed the landscape in which buildings must operate and must be embraced to remain competitive. By blending traditional building assets with digital technologies such as edge connectivity, data analytics, extended services, digital transformation is definitely redefining the entire facility structure. This new landscape is helping building owners, operators, providers across every sector type radically improve performance, increase efficiency, and increase asset value. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about here is this, the forgotten. In working with corporate real estate clients globally, when it comes to their portfolio strategies, two components that I continually see are misunderstood and in many cases forgotten are data management and cybersecurity. Both are critical for an effective and successful building facility digital transformation. Without them, a digital transformation endeavor will not live up to its fullest potential, yield the expected results, or deliver the outcomes you intended it to. And in many cases, I've seen major failures. So what I want to share with you is just some general concept areas about what you should consider when looking at a data management plan and developing your data strategy, as well as some key points in and around cybersecurity. So I think we can all agree that today's corporate built environment comprises rich streams of data. We heard Ron echo that just previously. Capturing and properly harnessing this data allows owners to build, manage risk, and create the true smart buildings, which we all have been talking about for years. However, data does not come from a single unified source. Data and its value originate from just about anywhere. However, it's not the raw data that creates the value. The strategic challenge is that it must be organized, facilitated, and orchestrated to capitalize on its value. So here are some things. Focus on the data that matters, the quality and the integrity. Determine a best practice, of course, security, data tagging and normalization. Understand the use, and to Ron's earlier point, you know, data resides on the edge, the lake, the cloud. It's not one place where all this data resides anymore. And a good data management strategy empowers companies to seek and make good fact-based decisions. It's also important to consider the associated risk that's involved. A number of users have increased and continue to multiply. So does this whole idea about privacy and security. With respect to this data management, I'm going to leave you with two things. Data produced from building devices and systems is more valuable than the cost of the devices and the systems themselves. And building and facility data is now an irreplaceable asset. Let's turn our attention now to cybersecurity. And again, I'm delighted to see so much talk in and around this. 5 years ago, you wouldn't find this. Unfortunately, none of us can decide whether or not our organizations or your portfolio of buildings will be a target of cybersecurity threats. Many organizations are still not addressing what I call the elephant in the room when it comes to building operation cybersecurity and are unprepared to respond to the threats that present themselves every day. A good cybersecurity strategy for the built environment, I think if you cover these particular areas with technology, procedures, and so forth and so on, would give you a really good base. Ask yourself, are we secure? How do we know if we've not been compromised today? How would we know? What will we do about it if we were? Are we prepared to face the threat? Do we have a company cybersecurity statement? How about the willingness to instill a cyber culture? Are companies in our supply chain secure? And then risk, how much are we willing to take? So to summarize and to conclude, data management and cybersecurity are critical to the interoperability, flexibility, and resilience of corporate real estate portfolios. They are essential to any portfolio strategy and to a smart building or smart building campus. There are also two of the biggest challenges that face and are increasingly our intelligent building structures. Excluding them from a corporate portfolio strategy will limit an organization's capacity to derive all that value that can be had and likely make your investment in technology seem insufficient. So just implementing technology isn't going to get you there. In order to benefit fully from a true digital transformation, it must be driven by a well-thought-out strategy that includes data management and cybersecurity.
Mark,
so Chuck, I'll turn it back to you.
All right, I think you hit that hammer on the head again with the idea of cybersecurity, and I just saw recently, too, that LinkSpring announced a partnership with Totem Building Cybersecurity, probably in the ability to assess this with clients. It's pretty incredible focus, obviously a need of everybody should be thinking about it in this direction. So very good, very good. All right, I'm going to bring in our next guest. That's Brent Buchestein. He's the CEO of Vintra, a leading video analytics company that uses AI to transform any video surveillance into actionable and tailored intelligence. And their solution is being used by forward-thinking and public safety organizations to organize, analyze, and derive critical insights from both stored and live video. Mark, I think everyone right here in the presentation is covering up the laptop cameras right now.
Hi, everyone. This is Brent. You're going to get a CEO audio overview here rather than some music, but I just wanted to introduce myself. What we do at Vintra is we add a brain, intelligence, to infrastructure that you've already installed, typically cameras that are going in and around your building to deliver smarter, more productive, and more safe spaces. And to kind of take a step back and tie this to the discussion that we've been having as a group here. You guys out there in the corporate real estate world spend a lot of time and a lot of money building well thought out, beautiful, productive spaces that people, your team members who are highly compensated, spend thousands of hours of year in. And I'm going to posit to you that a strategy that you want to take then is your job doesn't stop when the construction ends, but we want to then reduce the impact of unforeseen events and the quantity of those. And one way to do that that is now attainable, that was really a couple years ago not, is to add AI to all the infrastructure, mainly the cameras that you already have installed. So let me cover a little bit in that vein about how the security organizations, many of you probably have a director of security underneath you, or they're a colleague or a partner of yours. And I'm just going to highlight two ways that their world is changing. 4 years ago, we didn't have drones monitoring corporate data centers, robots trundling around our parking lots, or cameras on the front of the bikes that your security guards drive around. So we're moving to a high camera density environment. And then secondarily, security is now needs to be proactive rather than reactive. First of all, in many of the jurisdictions that you guys live, it'll take law enforcement 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes just to get to you. So if you're already with a reactive stance, you're on a back foot if you should have an incident. And in terms of how we then outfit an organization, video is the highest fidelity sensor that many organizations use. Unfortunately, we stick a human being right in the middle of it, and we're fighting evolution. I mean, we as humans were made for lions and tigers and bears, oh my. We were not made to sit and stare at cameras for many, many hours a day and try to find the things that would impact your ability to run a beautiful, productive, and well-thought-out space for your team. Now, the kind of use cases, when we start to put a machine in this process that get unlocked, are the ability to quickly search video. We call that post-event, searching it for anyone who might have had an incident, like a person down. More people die in this country at work from cardiac arrest and stroke than weapons. And so we invent technology that helps us find people who are having safety incidences. If you need to find someone by their attributes or even by their biometrics because you have a credible threat that a disgruntled ex-employee has made, those are now real kind of capabilities that can be easily added to these systems, as well as obviously weapon detection and other kinds of object detection. Now, we often get a question about like privacy and ethics and legal considerations for deploying these types of technologies, and we tend to have two pieces of advice. One is your users and stakeholders are concerned about what happens if this doesn't work, and our advice there is always pick your partners wisely. You would never hire a security guard without looking at their CV. You shouldn't hire an algorithm to help you do something if you don't understand how it's been trained, what its bias and accuracy levels are. Second, customers are, and stakeholders are concerned what happened when it works. And this is, you really want to have, do all of this in the light, have open stakeholder communication, and then also deploy different strategies for different areas. People will understand persistent looking for people who have fallen in lone worker environments. They probably aren't going to understand, and nor should they, using face recognition to indiscriminately scan if people are at their desks. But using it at a lobby entrance when there's a credible threat from an ex-employee, that's something most of our stakeholders and customers are accepting. Looking at how you get an ROI off deploying this type of technology, a single avoidance of an incident where one of your ex-employees who has a restraining order against someone on your staff is not allowed into the workplace to commit a violent act is millions of dollars of savings. Stopping a fatal workplace injury because you get emergency care to the person in time, millions of dollars. So there's real ROI here for organizations that want to make this investment. And in a whole and in totality to close, what you get when you do this digital transformation is that the elements that you see here, it's a totally rethought way to security. It's being proactive instead of reactive. And security ends up becoming a superhero partner of the organization, able to respond quickly, get investigations done, and be very proactive in their stance, rather than someone that's reactive and really a bottleneck in you trying to deliver a safe, secure, and productive workspace for your teams. With Brent, that, Chuck and Jim, I'll turn it back over to you guys.
Yeah, Brent, real quick, can companies still use this with existing cameras, or do they have to switch out cameras?
No, that's the key now. We've made a lot of advancements in that. So if you've already made an investment in IP cameras, you can drop technology like this with either in the cloud or simple on-prem appliances. That is, it's literally like adding a brain to the eyes that you've already paid to install. But, of course, we have human beings who have a 20-minute attention span, and we ask them to sit for 10 hours a day and stare at those screens, and that doesn't work too well.
Got it.
And I can just install tech as a retrofit.
So all right, Chuck,
you ready to open?
Yeah, I want to do kind of a little reset, though. I mean, what we just heard is some of the most interesting, compelling, insightful information. So we heard from two of the most phenomenal, extraordinary projects coming out of the ground, possibly most likely in the world, which will transform real estate. And we've really heard from a good blend of sponsor partners on infrastructure, smart building, networking, edge devices, and all the way up to data, which in this case is is video, which is a very hot topic these days. So I think you guys and ladies did a really good job setting a foundation. So what I want to do is start with just a couple quick questions to Emmanuel and Paul, and then we'll kind of open it up to, we've got questions for all the speakers, but and guys, if you can answer the first one in maybe 30 seconds or less, and then the second one might require a little bit more discussion, but we'll start with Emmanuel. Emmanuel, if a corporate real estate executive from another organization walks on to your campus when it's completed, are they going to realize that their environment is 21st century and yours is 22nd? Is it going to be that noticeable?
So that's actually what we want to do. It will be. Because what we are trying to do is you know, provide that seamless integrated experience across multiple systems in a building that will ensure the space that this executive walks in, the way the space responds to him and the way the space, like, he interacts with the space would be extremely visible. Right? That would give them the feeling that, oh, wow, you know, this is a futuristic campus that's actually available today.
So is it a reset for corporate America as far as their workplaces are concerned?
So would it be a reset? I would say partially. Workspaces of yesterday and today are not designed to adapt to the needs of the individual or the needs for that specific purpose at that point in time. So making that space able to respond to the needs immediately in real time would be the reset that we're looking at.
Okay. Paul, how about you? I mean, a total different experience, what anybody's used to?
It is going to be totally different experience. The technologies we've been evaluating and implementing to some extent will know who you are, what facilities you'll have access to. Like I said earlier when we talked yesterday, this is going to be an open campus. We're not going to have lock gates keeping people out. They can drive onto this campus. Obviously, buildings that are employee-only buildings, they will only have access to the public spaces. But the grounds are going to be free, too. So with different individuals, some of the things we looked at and evaluated in the past few years are understanding what takes so long and what's so inefficient when we're trying to get somebody in a building. Having someone try to look up who's going to be there, what time they're going to be there, what conference room they need to book, understanding that they can get contacted. In the past, it was a phone call. Now it should be just a digital message. Your guest is here, and they should be able to go to the locate the space where the meeting is going to be at right through an app that they have access to from the public standpoint. It's totally going to be different.
Yeah, I just get the sense out of your presentations that this is groundbreaking, you know, reset of the industry as far as what, you know, this 21st century digitally transformed experience really means. Real quick, another quick answer if you could, because I want to get to our other guests.
Right.
We saw some incredible facial recognition technology. We've talked about privacy. Chuck mentioned, you know, why people are wearing face masks in Hong Kong, obviously because they're aware of the technology. Starting with Emmanuel, how important is privacy to this new connected world you're creating?
So it is extremely important. For us, it is actually one of the foundational pillars of being able to provide the experiences. And in addition to privacy, Jim, I think one of the other speakers also touched upon ethics. So yes, we can ensure privacy, but ethically, is it the right kind of thing that we need to do? So it's fundamental in the way we design our services.
Awesome. Paul, how about you? I know we've talked about this a little bit.
We have. You know, it's like that legal scale of justice, right? HR and the legal groups have some major issues with the privacy. But as far, you know, we have to look at the reality of things. Social media, you give up your privacy as soon as you click on something. Going to websites, you give up your privacy. What is really the important thing here? Is it the welfare and security of your employees and the public on your campus? There has to be a middle ground there that's going to be acceptable. And obviously, I was very interested in the technology. You know, we've looked at a lot of these things. We found other use cases as well for these as a technology.
Okay. All right. Great answers, guys. Again, incredible insight and access to what you're thinking on these huge projects. So what I think we'll do now, Chuck, is why don't we start with each of our guest speakers, and they've submitted some questions. You can start with Rona and Ron, Rona, and we'll just kind of alternate.
Sure, exactly. I've got so many questions, but we've got so little time, of course. Rona, first one, you know, that I think about when I think about infrastructure, is there something maybe in your solution set today that you offer that is probably going to be obsolete in 2 to 3 years, and maybe someone's thinking about that, like copper, for example? Don't go there. Let's look at other solutions.
Yeah, I think I get that question a lot, actually, about copper specifically. And while we definitely are moving towards getting, you know, fiber deeper into the network, you know, because of its bandwidth capabilities, inside of a building, a lot of devices need to be powered reliably, especially critical devices to the network or operational technologies. And so while copper's role is changing in the building, it is definitely shifting towards those devices, those critical devices that require power. And instead of seeing a lot of copper at a workstation, right, because most devices, personal devices are mobile, and computers are mobile devices now or wirelessly connected, we're seeing a lot of those copper connections up in the ceiling space, because those devices that need network connection and need data communication, they need power too. And so PoE is a great way to deliver power reliably, consistently, and backed up to those devices.
Got it. Ron, for you, I'm just curious how artificial intelligence, I mentioned it at the beginning, is starting to mature, actually. Are you using that for third-party access to Honeywell systems, Siemens, Trane, those remote controllers?
We are getting there very shortly, in another 18 months to 2 years. 18 months, I would say, is where we will have a AI-enabled operations cloud, where because of that single pane of glass, you can collect not only your ServiceNow ticketing data, your SQL database of the manufacturer's assets, your service mechanical contractor's database of who's servicing the asset, as well as the actual data from the asset, and now you can build an AI model on this completely. Very much so. Another 18 months from now.
Got it. Go ahead, Jim.
Now, Chuck, why don't you finish up with these guys, and then I've got some group questions I'm formulating.
Oh, okay, sure. All right, Mark. For those who are not familiar, when you use the term edge devices, how do you explain that to someone who is not a technician?
Mm-hmm. Basically, it is a device. It could be a controller, it could be a VAV, it could be, and now, rooftop units that sit on top of your buildings, a chiller, whatever. It's those sitting on the edge where you have direct connectivity and data exchange and communication with that device or that piece of equipment, versus having to go through a middleware layer or some other layer. Look at it as a direct connect type thing. And so use cases especially are the uses of the various sensors we now incorporate in our buildings, lighting and so forth and so on. I've seen it, sprinkler systems, the sprinkler heads and things like that. And even in the Asia Pacific area, rodent traps. So you can kind of see, you know, everything is connectable for the most part today. So that's what, that's how we look at edge, yeah.
Got it. I think this probably applies to a lot of people, but I'll focus this on Brent. The idea of global, the idea to deploy something globally, I suspect that especially with facial recognition and dash cams, body cams, drone-based systems, all of that, state and federal and government regulations could easily limit your deployability of AI-enhanced camera surveillance videos. Is that accurate?
Yeah, certainly on the biometric front, you're going to have a flexible system that you can turn certain features on or off. based on local regulations or even just what a company is trying to achieve from a flexible strategy standpoint. Typically today, if you're doing non-biometric analysis that maybe has only short-term or intermediate-term data that's stored, these are things like person falling, or we have some technology that's called person re-identification. It uses everything else about a person but their face to re-identify them, and this helps with searches in high-density environments where your stakeholders don't want biometrics for the face to be involved, but you still need to be able to re-identify an ex-husband who's gotten into your facility and is looking for his ex-wife. That's a problem for her. And where is he right now?
Oh, my God.
So we help organizations do that.
Yeah. I'm aware of one company, I know Jim is too, that they used AI to recognize whether or not the coffee maker was low and could send an immediate message to someone to take care of that. So it can definitely recognize the downed individuals or things like that.
Yeah.
Jim, I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's start the group discussion.
Yeah, so listening to this conversation is just extraordinary. I think everybody on this phone call, by virtue of the fact that they're on it, are somewhat believers, right? So we're kind of preaching to the choir. But what I'm curious, and I'd like to maybe do 30-second responses just so we can get through everybody really quick. In 30 seconds or less, and we'll start with Emmanuel and go right down the row, what is the single biggest objection that you get when you're trying to talk to convince others that it's time to move into the future, transform these buildings into a 21st, 22nd century model? What is the resistance that you get that's most notable? Starting with Emmanuel.
So for me, Jim, the biggest resistance first is always from the perspective that, is there an ROI tied to this? Is this really going to benefit the user, the provider, and will this actually transform the space we're in, right? And in many of these cases, when we talk about experiences, a lot of them are intangible. How do you quantify the value that the experience will deliver? The second part that we always get to is buildings come in different ages. You have new buildings, old buildings. What is the impact to the physical space and the infrastructure that needs to occur? And is that impact significant or small enough for us to be able to provide the experiences? It is easier to do it to a new building versus an old building, but you have majority of old buildings. How do we standardize these experiences across a portfolio? So these are the two biggest concerns for me that I get asked all the time.
Okay. Paul, how about you? Biggest objections.
What is it going to cost? I think that's always the biggest objection. It's going to cost too much to deploy the technology. One of the things that really everybody has to evaluate with the technology is the fact that we have different demographic age groups, diversity in the workplace that use different types of technology. And understanding what that payback is, how are we going to bring that working environment to the level it needs to be to sustain the organization in the future and help the bottom line of the organization? So I think that
the cost is always front and center.
Cost is always front and center.
Rona.
This one's actually pretty easy for us. It's really that all of the individual building systems currently today have been designed independently or siloed, sort of in a vacuum. And so by the time infrastructure is considered, these designs for the other systems have been set and budgets established. So we're still sort of in this working against the existing infrastructure, the existing method that buildings are designed and built.
Yeah, old paradigm, new paradigm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ron, how about you?
Well, I sell cyber, right? When I sell cyber, it's like selling insurance. People ask me, how much life insurance do you want, how much medical insurance do you want, et cetera, and it's always looked at as an insurance policy. Until something bad happens, people don't want to spend. When something bad happens, they're like, oh, shit, I should have bought it. So it's cyber, if people have to just realize that it is something that when it comes to infrastructure that is going to allow them to transform their buildings, cyber is a big concern, and they should invest in it. And the only pushbacks I get is, of course, really, do I need to do it right now? Can it wait until a hack happens and then everybody calls? So that's basically it.
Yeah, well, RealCom is part of the Real Estate Cyber Consortium, and that's been our mantra, is to stay ahead of the headline. And I agree with you. A lot of people are waiting for the headline, and it's a big mistake. Big mistake. Mark, some thoughts?
Yeah, I'll sum it up in three words. First is how, second is who, and third is cost. I still think in general, how we're going to do it, who within the organization is going to do this, and then obviously cost. And I think the who is starting to dwindle a little bit. As Paul mentioned early on, the fact that IT and OT are coming together, are they 100% there yet? No. But that is helping the cause and reducing the concern about who.
Okay. And finally, Brent, some thoughts on biggest objection, what barrier to moving this ball forward?
It's typically similar to the cyber comment. It's typically the urgency of being proactive versus reactive, and someone really having to have felt the pain of not having a solution like ours or something similar. I'll give you a very tangible example. We have one customer who, on average, prior to us, it took them 100 hours to resolve employee security or safety complaints when there was video involved, because there's lots of things to review and go through, and they're like kind of running a law enforcement agency. Well, that person who made the complaint, they don't often feel comfortable being at the office, being around their friends. Then you get water cooler chatter that this company can't keep us safe. And all of that has this terrible knock-on effect for the actual core mission of the business. So helping companies take 100 hours down to resolve any employee incident in less than an hour that involves video is a real win, because people can show up at the office and feel like it's a safe place for them.
All right. At this point, we're coming down to the wire. Chuck, if you maybe have one question more you want to throw out, and then what we're going to do is go into the final insight from our panelists, the last 30 seconds of advice to the audience. So if you have a question or two you want to throw in there, and if not, we'll go right into that final portion.
No, I say go right ahead, Jim, while we got the time.
Okay, awesome. So what we always ask our speakers to prepare for is to present to you, the audience, the Monday morning insight, the Monday morning advice. They obviously have a lot of experience, a lot of scars, a lot of successes. And we just say, just give 30 seconds of insight to the audience on what they should do Monday morning to get this journey to the next step. So let's start with Emmanuel, and again, go left to right. Emmanuel, final parting words of insight and advice?
So for me, the very first thing has to begin around, what do people want to experience from the space that you're providing for them to use? How that space will transform the way they engage, collaborate, and do their work. If we can define that out, that will set the premise of the entire transformation.
Couldn't agree more. Paul?
I agree with Emmanuel. I would say first, building the right teams to have these discussions, workplace experience, operations technology, IT. Need to bring all those teams together first, then lay out your strategy through use cases and development with different vendors and so forth to deliver those.
Okay. Rona.
Well, I would say if you're a building IT or OT professional, to assert and insert yourself as early as possible with your commercial real estate and your leadership so that you can help to guide and steer the process as it pertains to infrastructure and strategy for technology.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you see these guys digging holes and pouring concrete, you want to be in this conversation as early as possible, especially on that new construction. Ron, how about you?
Think outside the box. Traditional IT methodologies, deployment methodologies. While the same functionality is required in the OT world, the deployment methodologies has to be completely flipped on its head. You're looking at something which is drop ship, plug and play, no IT, CCNA required at the edge, no engineers to go type DNS equal to 192.1.1, which requires radical thinking while giving IT governance. And that is only achievable by thinking outside the box. Think iPhone for a second, right? I mean, if Steve Jobs hadn't thought about this, we'd still have, we'd be dialing numbers the way we did with the, you know, how radically different was that? And I think that's what people have to understand, that this is how you think radically different to achieve that.
But what I did hear in that is that real estate and facility organizations have to, without any doubt, integrate, cooperate, collaborate with IT. That correct statement?
Absolutely. Without IT blessing you, you can't do any of this stuff. So IT governance, absolute must.
I was with a group of fairly very sophisticated campus facilities and real estate professionals, and unfortunately I asked the room how many of you are actively involved and integrated with IT, and I would say less than 10% of the room raised their hand, so we still have a lot of work to do. Mark, how about you?
Just to kind of sum up what I said earlier on, just implementing technology isn't going to get you there. It will not. And that, look at it, it's strategy first, technology second.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's the title of this webinar, strategy. The technology will come once the business, you know, and goals are established.
Well, I think the technology's here, okay? And yeah. That's not an issue anymore. It's here. And, I mean, just look at our two case histories that we're on today. No doubt they're using some fascinating and great technologies behind all what their vision is. So, but, again,
right.
It's no good without strategy.
Brent.
My headline would be, after spending millions, hundreds, or billions of dollars to build out your beautiful, well-thought-out space for highly compensated human beings, make the next small investment to protect it and make sure it stays that way.
Chuck, I'm going to sneak in one more quick question. This is literally a one-word answer. We'll go again left to right. Actually, we'll go right to left. We'll start with Brent and go the other way. Do you feel, given what Mark just said, that the technology is pretty much in place, we have the tools we need, do you think that the corporate real estate world is keeping pace with the opportunities the technology has to offer? In other words, are we moving this ball down the road fast enough? Just a yes or no answer. Brent?
Nope.
Mark?
No.
Nope. No.
Ron?
Nope. Nope.
Rona?
No. No.
Paul?
No.
Emmanuel?
No.
Chuck?
Well, with that kind of, I guess we have to make it unanimous and say it's never fast enough. Never.
What that tells me, and I've been at this for over 25 years, this is not a 5K. This is a triple Ironman. We just all have to wake up every morning and continue to make these cases, to create these visions. And I just want to say a thank you to each and every one of you who have participated, Emmanuel and Paul, with your projects, how busy you are. Thank you. All of our partners who make this possible, Comscope, Ionium, Linkspring, Vintra, as well as our other speakers, our sponsors. And with that, I want to take a couple minutes before we wrap and tell you about some things that are coming up. If you are interested in this topic, and I would encourage each and every one of you, after this, take 5 minutes and email 5 people, 10 people, about this webinar, which will be available for listening to, but also CoreTech. Honestly, we have assembled the greatest group of individuals. You're going to be able to hear much more detail what Emmanuel is doing, what Paul is doing, ExxonMobil, Google. We've assembled the top real estate, corporate real estate folks. This is just a sampling of the speaker. Mark Golan, Google, Emmanuel, Microsoft, Paul from Ford. We got JP Morgan, ExxonMobil, Citadel, McDonald's. These folks are literally pushing the envelope on corporate real estate facility innovation. And we're going to get them all in one room, and you're going to have a chance to speak with them and talk with them. It's a smaller, more intimate event than RealCom. So I would encourage you not just come, but to send the invitation out to your peers, because it really is a unique opportunity to meet with the brain trust who are desperately trying to move this ball forward, the perfect integration of space and technology. And then after that, we've got some webinars and CIO events coming on. Sarah, maybe if you could advance that slide. Chuck, why don't you go over these?
Yeah, both of these forums are happening next week, October 30th, if you're in Toronto or New York area. These are an excellent way to spend your afternoon just before the craziness of Halloween. They're free for CRE industry professionals, vendors, there's sponsorships options available, and they're fantastic for networking and information gathering opportunities. Check them out at realcom.com under the CIO forums tab, and RSVP to Sherry Part or reserve a seat. They're going fast, so don't wait.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about these events is these are primarily, you know, hand-picked, invitation-only events for practitioners on the real estate side. The solution providers are allowed in at what they sponsor, but this is really an opportunity to hear firsthand, closed-door environment, what these folks are trying to accomplish. It's a very serious group of people. These are the ones responsible for all this digital transformation, and it's really an opportunity to see what's going on behind closed doors with what we consider some of the tip of the spear thought leaders.
Yeah, so you know, Sarah, these are going to cover both of these are going to cover digital transformation. We're going to hit on data governance. RealCom's partnered with Oscar International on the one in New York. Great opportunity for people to network and get to know what's going on.
Yeah, it's easy to say digital transformation. It's another thing to make it happen. And it's all this work that goes on behind closed doors, you know, that really makes things happen, connects the dots, and advances this ball. So, again, before I turn it over to Sarah, thank you, Chuck, Emmanuel, Paul, Rona, Ron, Mark, and Brent. Phenomenal participation, phenomenal insight. I want to just let you know how much we appreciate it. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sarah.
Thank you very much, Jim, and also from me, a thank you to both you and Chuck, and also to all of our panelists. You did a great job today. Really appreciate you taking the time to prepare the session and share your knowledge with our audience. And a special thanks also to our sponsors. Our next webinar will be coming up in 2 weeks, and we will address the topic of artificial intelligence and actually go over some case studies that are already available in the real estate industry. One of them will actually talk about the coffee maker machine that Chuck briefly touched on just a few minutes ago. So make sure to sign up for that. You can either click on the picture or the link here or visit our website at realcom.com/webinars. We do make our webinars available as podcasts, so that's just the audio form, just in case you're not able to actually listening and viewing the webinar on the screen, because we know you're all busy, so just download the episodes and you can listen to them on your ride to work or while you're shopping or cleaning your home. So thanks again for joining us today. Really appreciate you taking the time to be with us, and I hope